Off the ball with BetDaq.com, the sports betting exchange. Serious about sport 24/7. Every season, every sport, every team.
All right, it's an absolutely massive weekend for Munster. They're in France for the Rifix game against Racing. And I'm delighted to say we've got Eddie O'Sullivan on the line. Eddie, this is obviously an incredibly unusual build-up to the game from Munster's perspective. The players obviously need to be aware of that, take cognizance of the fact, but also make sure that the game is their focus come kickoff.
Yeah, I mean, they'll have, you know, talked through this all week about how they approach the game, and they'll have to get their heads clear. It's a great opportunity for them because, and they'll know that too, because Racing really aren't putting out their strongest 15. They're out of the tournament and they're, you know, just made a lot of changes. Now that could work two ways for Racing. The guys who are out there could really show up, but Munster can't control that. They can only control their own performance, and they need to go out there and be really focused. And they've had a lot of emotional occasions, you know, since Anthony Foley passed away. There was the obvious one straight afterwards when they played in Thorn Park against the Glasgow Warriors, and there's been other games since, but you know, they've got past all those and they've delivered performances, so they know themselves it's really about keep staying in the zone and getting a big performance tomorrow. And it's in their own hands, I think, because they know that this Racing team are very takeable even though they're at home.
Yeah, and they're overwhelming favourites with the bookmakers. There's at least a 6-point spread. That was before the team was named, from a Munster perspective. I presume complacency isn't an issue, but at the same time, you know, you're going to France, and you always expect when you're going to France that you're going to be under the cosh. That might not be the case. So how do they just make sure their mindset is right?
In some ways, it's probably they're better off away from home, because I think if they were at home against the weekend Racing team, you know, they go out and they feel like that they're going to win the game and it's going to happen. I think being away from home does focus the mind, particularly in France, because if the French get in front of you and they get a reason to play and the crowd get behind them, then it could be a very difficult game. Whereas if they get ahead of Racing, Racing would probably go, look, this, we're not going anywhere in this tournament, and the supporters will say, yeah, what's the big deal? And they won't really pony up, and they'll probably get an easy ride if they get ahead. But it could be the other way around if they fall behind. So it's about how they start the game. It's going to be crucially important to start the game well. And they don't have to do anything in particular, only just play well, hold on to the ball, defend well. And if they get a couple of chances to knock the penalties through and kind of build a little bit of a score and give Racing a reason to walk away, you know. Whereas if they don't do that, if Racing get their noses ahead and they get a bit of a buzz going and the crowd get behind them, they have no reason to stop playing. And you need to give Racing a reason to stop playing tomorrow. So they know all this. There's nobody going to tell them this and they say, I didn't know that before. They know that tomorrow, the start of the game is crucial, that they're really focused. And, you know, there will be an emotional dimension to it, but they've come through these emotional occasions before. I think they'll be well able to manage that aspect of it.
Yeah, it seems like, obviously, Razzy Rasmus has brought in a bunch of very specific things. There's an entirely new coaching ticket. There's a new defensive system. We hear that Jerry Flannery's been off studying scrum technique around the world, and so they're all, you know, we would be analysing those parts of the evolution of what Munster were doing this year, even if it wasn't for the situation in the aftermath of Anthony Foley's death. And Munster have been able to marry the two, the technical changes with this wave of emotion. They've been able to ride that wave so far. And I guess, I don't know, maybe you just become accustomed to being able to do that and to channel that properly somehow.
Well, as I said, they have delivered good performances. Now, they're probably the only fly in the ointment was away in Leicester, where they could have won the game and they didn't. It went against them. But probably the biggest challenge for now is to stay, as I said, in the zone and play well, given such a shot. I think against a team like this, they will win the game if they play well, especially Racing not having, you know, the full deck on the table. But I still think that it's in their own hands, and it's mentally they'll win or lose this game. Now, having said that, you know, tactically and technically, Munster have done well this season when they have dominated teams physically. We saw how they, I mean, I was at the Leicester game with Dave McIntyre. I was in the commentary, and I couldn't believe how placid Leicester were on that day. But then the following week, it was a complete turnaround where Leicester actually fronted up physically, and Munster did struggle to break them down. So, you know, they're going to have to find a way tomorrow of winning the physical battle And I think the French will be up for it for the first 20 minutes, half an hour anyway, and see if they're still in the game. So probably tomorrow, mentally, they're going to have to be ready for a bit of a war and make sure they come out the right side of it. That'll really define their performance, I think. Munster need to play at that kind of fever pitch we've seen them deliver this year on occasions, if they're going to actually dominate teams enough to beat them. And I think it won't be easy to start in Paris, but I think if they stay on the job and are patient and disciplined, they'll get it done.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit earlier on about this, but Racing's team is still littered with absolute superstars of the game. They've got Joe Rococo, Teddy Thomas, and Juan Imhoff is their back three. So it's not like Munster are going to be able to be a bit loose and be a bit flabby and kick the ball away. They're going to have to be on it from the very get-go.
Yeah, this game will be won mentally. Will be won or lost mentally. There's no question about it. I think Munster are the better team on the field. It's just a question of how soon they can unravel Racing. You know, Racing will put it out there for, you know, probably maybe 20 minutes, half an hour. And if they're still in the game, Racing will kick on. And there is a danger with the calibre of players they have that they could catch Munster. But if Munster, as I said, are disciplined, you know, with them without the ball, when they have it, hold on to it. When they don't have it, defend well and bring that aggressiveness we've seen them with this season, I think they will wear down Racing and they will win the game. But all those things are between your ears, you know. Like players, you know, they're not less skillful today than they were yesterday, or they're not going to be more skillful on Sunday. They had the skill set they have, and they've proven this year with the right combination of intensity that they can deliver big performances. But it's between their ears this game is going to be won or lost. And I still think, given where Munster are, given the importance of this game, they could take control of the pool tomorrow if they win. And, you know, they'd be talking about potentially home quarter-final stuff. But they need to win tomorrow. But mentally, the game is going to be won or lost tomorrow. And I think Munster are ready for it, I've no doubt about it. I think Racing will probably take it or leave it. And if Munster are right, I think Racing will walk away before the 80 minutes are up.
They've been very fortunate with injuries so far in many different ways. In one way, they were really fortunate that Francis Ailey got injured because it allowed them to bring in Jaco Tarte, and now they're getting to keep Jaco Tarte. So that's a double benefit for them. And like a potentially very bad situation has worked out brilliantly for them. But just to be able to have Peter Mahoney, Tommy O'Donnell and CJ Stander. O'Donnell limped off in the Connacht game, and we've seen him just be so unfortunate with injuries recently. You were really worried about what was going to be the case, but they've named him to start and he's grand to go. So they have this continuity. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 is going to be the exact same as it has been for most of the big games so far this season, and they look like a team transformed when those guys all play together.
Yeah, well, they have been lucky on the injury fronts. You know, Saley was the big one. They have him back now, and as I said, there was a positive spin-off of Tote, you know, having to come on board and prove his worth. So there's a lot of things going for Munster tomorrow. They have a settled team. Their confidence is up. They're playing a brand of rugby they were seen to be enjoying and is working for them. All those things are perfectly fine. And if they deliver them tomorrow, I've no doubt they'll win. But the delivery is in the mental game, whether they bring their A game and they don't give Racing any chance to get into the game. But for all those reasons, I expect them to do that. I do expect them to win the game. I think, you know, the people who are putting them ahead on the point spread are actually right about that. I think if they don't win tomorrow, it'll be a huge disappointment and a bit of a shock thrown in. And that's an unusual thing to say when you're going to Paris for a European game that you'd expect to win. But I think where they are at the moment, the importance of the game, where they are in terms of their mental, their physical and their skill set, they're playing a brand of rugby that seems to be enjoying us working from. And as I said, everybody seems to be on the same page and they've had good continuity with injuries. All those things point in the direction of a big performance from Munster, and I think a winning performance. If Racing were loaded up tomorrow and they were still in the pool, you know, all those things going well for you mightn't get you across the line. But with all those things going well and Racing really, you know, not putting their best foot forward, you have to back Munster on this one.
With about 50-odd minutes gone, maybe 55 minutes on the clock, it was 6-6 in the game between Connacht and Munster in the sports grounds, and Ian Keatley was getting the ball pretty much on his own goal line, looked up, hit this beautiful crossfield kick which Andrew Conway picks up and makes a break that ultimately leads to the match-winning try for them. Ian Keatley goes out into the media this week and says, you know, we feel really emboldened. Razzie says to us, whenever the chance is on, even if you're on your own goal line, you take it and I'm going to back you because you took the chance. Ian Keatley's reward for that is to not even be on the bench. Now, maybe he's injured, but maybe he's not, because They've got Duncan Williams, Keith Earls and Francis Saili on the bench. So it's quite an aggressive bench that Razzy Rasmus has gone with here.
Yeah, but I think when Razzy Rasmus says that, he says it to all the players, not just Ian Keighley. You know, obviously, Keighley took, you know, felt emboldened enough to take that risk. The cross kick is a great execution and it turned the game. But that goes to the kind of confidence they have at the moment around themselves, you know. And that fairness comes from the coach. The coach gives them the confidence to take those risks and tells them it's okay if you feel it's on to have a go. And that's what good coaching is about. But he's probably said that to everybody, not just Ian Keighley. So I think he looked at his bench and he feels he has enough cover to cover the 10 if he needs it. Saili coming off the bench, a big impact player. Earls as well. They have definitely got guys back in form that they could hurt people off the bench. Have we seen that as well? So I think Rasmus is playing his best hand here as he sees it, which is, it's not a surprise given the importance of the game. This game tomorrow probably defines their pool for them. You know, if they win tomorrow, I said they control the pool, I think, and probably come out of it maybe as winners. If they don't win tomorrow, then things, you know, definitely get very ropey for them.
Do you think we are getting into a period where maybe we won't always have a recognised 10 on the bench, that actually this might be something, maybe it's just the players he has, but maybe this might be a stylistic thing that Razzy Rasmus wants to embrace?
I think generally speaking, you've got to, when you put guys on the bench, you've got to think the guy may have to come on after 1 minute, you know. That's in the back of your mind. Like, yeah, you might put a guy on there and say, yeah, if we need him for 20 at the end, he can dig us out. But you don't know, your 10 could go down in the first minute, you know, could twist his ankle. And then you've got a guy standing there for 79 minutes who's got to run the game. So by and large, if you don't have somebody on the field who can step into that role if necessary, you're going to have to put one on the bench. And it's a huge risk to take not doing that. But Rasmus feels he has the cover. Again, with coaches, you've got to give coaches credit for knowing the players better than the guy looking over the fence, because he's on the field with them, he's in training with them, he knows how they're reacting. So he obviously feels he has the cover without Keighley. And I think for that reason, you know, he's comfortable to doing it.
Yeah.
But you do need somebody who can step into that. Like, if Blendall goes down after a minute tomorrow, the guy who steps into 10 has got to run the game for pretty much 79 minutes. And that's the nightmare scenario, but you've got to plan for it. I mean, if you don't and it happens, you know, you're letting yourself open to a lot of criticism, and it's a fair criticism, you know.
Yeah, it would be very interesting to see who that might be. There's some talk that Scanlon might be able to do it. There's some talk O'Mahony might be able to do it. You wonder if maybe he decides to put Conor Murray in there and brings Duncan Williams off the bench. But hopefully it's not a scenario that we get the game plan. One last point before I leave this game for you. When you're looking at Munster and you're seeing the evolution of their style of play, what has changed? Is it down to the identity of the players that they have available? Because, you know, we haven't really seen a Munster team with a settled front row, with Dunica Ryan in the second row, with O'Mahony, O'Donnell and CJ Stander. We haven't seen Conor Murray and Tyler Blaindall play together. So that actually, you know, is it too early yet in the Razzy Rasmus era to say this is the distinctive style of play and this is how it differs from, say, what would have gone before?
I think probably the thing that I saw seen this year from Munster overall is their level of intensity is right up there. The games they've dominated well and the games they've been most successful in, they've really kind of suffocated teams, which is kind of the Munster style of old. I mean, they suffocated Glasgow, they suffocated Leicester, you know. They had the capacity to do that. They suffocated Leinster as well when Leinster travelled week there, you know, around Christmas. So it's when they're on that front foot and they're ultra-aggressive and they're in your face, they're delivering that performance on a regular basis. My only worry for them is that when that doesn't get them across the game line, when they're not bullying teams all over the field, I think they do struggle a bit. And that's the real last test from which will come in more at the end of the season. I think Rasmus has brought a clarity of thought around them. They know what he wants. They're happy to buy into it. It's working for them and they're doing it well. But probably the biggest thing is there a level of intensity they're bringing to the games now that's to me, has got them back into a kind of a Munster mindset, which kind of seemed to have gone missing before that. Munster teams, even back at the peak of their powers, they were usually strangling teams, you know, physically and suffocating them defensively to get where they wanted to go. So I think they're kind of getting back into that skin again now. That's what I see maybe this season. It's not rocket science, but it's very, very effective. And as long as they can deliver that level of intensity successfully, it's very hard to beat them.
Yeah, absolutely. One last point that the new edict has come down from World Rugby about the high tackle, and there's obviously going to be an increased focus on this, and there's obviously going to be increased penalties for anybody who does execute a high tackle. On the whole, as a rugby person, do you believe that this is actually a very positive step and that really the game kind of needs to go this way? Or are you a bit concerned about how this is all kind of being introduced?
Well, my take on it is I agree with the sentiment of what they're trying to achieve, of getting players to tackle lower to avoid contact with the neck and head area. To me, they've got to do that. It's the, you know, because what's changed in the game, and we you know, what's made the game different than it's been a number of years ago, is obviously the physicality is up. We've got bigger, faster players colliding with each other. But the two things that have changed that makes it a big difference is, one is we don't kick the ball away as much in the modern game, so there's more ball carrying and there's more collisions. And defences are smarter, so there's less space between the two touchlines. So you combine those, you're getting more collisions more frequently. And players are told to target the ball. Mostly players don't go in to clothesline a guy. One of the problems is, and they probably should have tried to deal with this, is that there is no obligation on the ball carrier to stay and not duck into a tackle. And I think you're going to have these anomalies where a guy is going with the best of intentions and the ball carrier ducks and he ends up with a red card, and it's going to look very unfair and it's going to look very harsh for a guy going in to attack with the best of intentions, and because the ball carrier ducks at the last moment, he gets red carded and he had no intention or no malice. He was just trying to do his job, you know?
Yeah.
And we could get these very harsh anomalies, which would probably upset people. If a game changes on that, you'd be upset, you know?
Hopefully it'll be fixed in time for the next World Cup when, you know, there's at least a period of time. It might ruin a Six Nations or a Tri Nations.
It's going to be very hard to fix it because the nature of the game is you have 30, you know, really good athletes running around at high speed and colliding with each other. And we're trying to manufacture an environment where all those collisions will happen below the shoulders.
Yeah.
And with the best will in the world, you know, even the laws of physics will tell you that's a very hard thing to achieve. Now, I think they're right to try and do it, but I think it may not be solved yet. I just sense that it'll have to be looked at again at some point. But let's see how this goes. I think they're trying to do the right thing. You have to applaud them for that at least.
All right, Eddie, great stuff. Thanks very much for joining us.
Off the Ball with BetDak.com, the sports betting exchange. Serious about sports 24/7. Every season, every sport, every team.